those of you on teleconference, this is Senator Porchot, and with us is our Senator Kelly and Senator Fakes. Today, before us are two bills that are closely related in that they address a couple of different problems that have arisen in the policies or regulations and statutes involving admittance to our Pioneer homes. The first bill is now a sponsor substitute of Senate Bill 389, introduced by Senator Petula. We had also had previously in our committee another bill, SB 248, addressing the question of age and admission by Senator Duncan. In the last week, we and the bill sponsors have worked with the Department of Administration in trying to address all of these topics in a comprehensive manner, and hopefully with a sponsor substitute today and a courtesy to one of the bill sponsors, I think perhaps we're in a position at least to address several of these questions in a comprehensive fashion. Is there a representative from Senator Kurtula's office here? Kathy?
Thank you. Thank you. My name is Kathy Hathaway, and I work for Senator Kurtula. And he asked that I appear before the committee and read his statement regarding Senate Bill 389. I, Senator Kurtula, introduced this bill in response to the inability of Louis Oddsather and others to spend their last days in the Pioneers' home. Louis' circumstance was particularly unfortunate and heartrending, since he had spent so much of his life working for seniors' issues in general and the Pioneers' homes in particular. Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 389 makes three basic changes to current law to ensure that admission to the Pioneers' homes is handled on an equitable and humane basis. Firstly, current law gives the destitute priority for admissions to the Pioneers' home. The sponsor substitute provides that all in need would have equal access to the homes. Under this bill, the destitute requirement is eliminated, and a general needs-based requirement is instituted based on the inability of a person to maintain a household without assistance. Secondly, under current law, those who are destitute can be admitted earlier than age 65. Those who are not destitute can only be admitted after age 65. The sponsor substitute clarifies who can be admitted to the homes and adds an age requirement of 65 for all admissions. The sponsor substitute also will allow spouses of residents of the home to be admitted if the spouses are not in need, if the spouse is at least age 65. Thirdly, under current law, a debt can be collected from a present resident when that resident receives income in excess of $100 per month. This bill would ensure that the department cannot require a payment in any one month which is greater than the monthly amount for care which is set in statute, except for debts incurred under AS 47-25070. Under this bill also, the collectability of debts of former residents who are now deceased will be governed by the probate code. Thank you.
Ms. Hathaway, thank you very much. Questions? Thank you very much. Is there a representative from Senator Duncan's office?
Yes. Oh.
Are we on teleconference?
Yes.
My name is Roxanne Stewart. I'm an aide to Senator Duncan. And we support the amendments to Senate Bill 389, and Senator Duncan will be happy to work with Senator Kurtula to accomplish the goal of making the age requirement 65 or older, and the other amendments to the program which allow other people equal footing with destitute in entering into the Pioneers' home system.
Ms. Stewart, thank you very much, and we are also most appreciative of Senator Duncan's working with the other bill on this, and it certainly helps address, I think, very similar problems in a single bill or a single comprehensive fashion. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mr. Fox or Ms. Bathany or both, are you prepared to testify?
Great. Thank you for showing for the record. My name is James Fox, Deputy Clerk of the Department of Administration, and part of my responsibilities involve oversight of the administration of Pioneer Homes. We're supportive of the sponsor substitute. We feel that it would address a number of problems that we've had in administration for several years now, but changes in the law bring the Pioneer Homes, will bring the Pioneer Home system more in line with what the current public perception of it is. And if there are any further questions about how it would work or details about the reason for the changes, or at least what they do from the department's perspective, either I or the director of the division would be happy to be a resource or answer those questions.
I have a question, and I apologize. I have not had the opportunity to study the sponsor substitute as thoroughly as I probably should have. Could you run through for me the procedure under the sponsor substitute as it would apply to priority admission into the homes?
Yes, sir. The current statute establishes a Pioneer Home system for the indigent. There's a secondary provision in the statute that permits individuals to come in under an agreement to individuals who are 65 to come in under an agreement to pay the fees as established. The way that we have interpreted that for a number of years is to give persons who meet the definition of indigent the priority for admission. Our reading of the statute is that was fundamental, you know, what is required. Our first priority in admission to, for example, a nursing bed is a priority given to a person already in the Pioneer Home system. For example, someone receiving residential services who becomes more frail or ill to the point of needing continuous nursing care, those receive the first priority for medical beds. The second priority is given to persons on the waiting list who are not in the institution, who meet the requirements or meet the definition for destitute. The third priority for admission would be a person who is not destitute and is not in the institution. And that has been difficult to administer because a person can be on the waiting list and not be destitute, maybe on the waiting list for several years. And yet someone applies within a few months and is admitted. That has created, I think, a difficulty with our constituency in accepting that.
So what's wrong with that? What's your definition of destitute? What are you using for definition?
Current definition of destitute is tied to the public assistance statutes and is the same as a person who would be eligible for adult public assistance. The difficulty with that, from our perspective, is mainly one of administration and acceptance by the persons wishing admission. The Pioneer Homes are not perceived as a public assistance institution. On the other hand, from the perspective of day-to-day care and the cost of the system, it doesn't make any difference there. In that sense, one would not be more costly to care for than the other.
Well, you mean viewed from just the perspective of the Pioneer?
Yes, sir.
That's certainly not true in terms of the system of our Medicaid reimbursement, right?
No, sir. That's been a criticism from the public sector, private nursing homes, that we give priority in admission to those who are best able to afford alternate care, who would, in other words, be eligible for Medicaid and be able to avail themselves of a private care. Unfortunately, part of the difficulty arises from the fact that in this state, because of the cost of private care, it's only available to those who are either very, very wealthy or who otherwise qualify for assistance primarily through Medicaid.
Well, then how would the system be different than in the CS? And I guess the problem I'm having in reading this is I don't know if we're just changing just the whole admission standards or whether there is a new kind of priority in the CS, the sponsor substitute.
The change in the priority is more of a removal of priority. It is our intent to maintain the waiting lists on a chronological basis. And a person would receive consideration for admission based on their date of application as opposed to their level of material wealth.
So the this whole section then on physical disability, et cetera, that is only applying to the special spouse situation, not to regular applicants?
No, sir. excuse me. Currently, under the statute, a person who is indigent is required to be in need of the aid and benefit of the home to be physically or emotionally disabled, unable to care for themselves. That requirement does not apply to the what I call the pay-as-you-go customer, although most of the people, either indigent or not, requesting admission do need some level of care. The change in the statute there requires that all persons coming into the home be in need of the service that they're requesting. In other words, if they're applying to receive nursing care, that they actually physically be in need of that care. And it makes that requirement consistent across the board for all applicants.
Okay, that was what I was thinking. I mean, the reality is you can walk into the home in the residential wing in Anchorage today and get admission, and the real lineup is in the nursing wing. And I was wondering if we were somehow saying that part of the priority of getting into the nursing wing was having to have some kind of physical disability, which of course would be everybody wanting to get into the nursing wing, I assume, or virtually everyone.
Part of the difficulty is that the current statute does not require that. We have been fortunate, I think, in that no one has pushed it as a legal issue. But the reading of the statute by at least two different attorneys I've discussed the issue with would be that a person could demand entrance whether they needed the service or not, just because of the wording in the statute.
Okay, so to clarify then, what, just as in the case of age 65, where we've made an assumption that the Pioneer Home is for the benefit of seniors or people 65, similarly, we're assuming, we've always made the assumption that the nursing care was for those people needing and requiring nursing care, and now we're saying that in statute.
Correct.
And then in addition, we're removing the moving to the head of the line for, quote, indigent people, as you have defined them, at least as being Medicaid eligible or poverty level eligible. And so now you're envisioning a system of strictly chronological admittance, where they have to have real needs for whatever the services they're wanting. They have to be 65. But they need not have any financial need. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. It is our expectation that we would neither deny a person admission if they were indigent, nor would we give them priority. They would be basically equal treatment across the board in consideration.
Well, a couple of years ago, it seems like that we had considered another option or another alternative in redefining destitute in the statute, where there would still be some type of financial need priority, but it wouldn't necessarily relate to the poverty line. It would be a more general definition of financial need. For example, just a person demonstrating, you know, financial need would receive some kind of priority.
That was probably before my time, I don't recall.
As the department rejected trying to further define destitute to alleviate this Medicaid-based or poverty federal guideline-based interpretation?
We've given some consideration to that. In my mind, the reason for picking the adult public assistance standard is for consistency across various state programs, some effort at commonality of level, you know, entry levels for service. We could theoretically define destitute at any level that we chose. From my point of view, I think the public assistance standard is a good, understandable cutoff point. I think people may not agree with it necessarily, but they can certainly clear where it comes from and why it's applied. If you raise the standard above that, which would be certainly possible, you still have a cutoff line somewhere, and you will always have dissension by those who are one side or the other of that, just one side or the other of that cutoff line. We could ignore property, or we could ignore certain levels of wages. Considered that. Also, I think the consideration is that the program has come to be seen as a benefit to long-term residents of the State Pioneers. And it's our feeling that by removing that standard, it allows a more equitable treatment just for that population in general.
Well, I, of course, from a, just a larger public policy standpoint on the very different ways we're treating Medicaid people, that it seems the current system certainly does not help conserve, if you can use that word, our Medicaid payments, where we are moving, or we have now in statute an incentive to move people from a 50-50 basis in, say, our rate of compassion, and move them into 100% by priority, 100% pay situation on the part of the state. That clearly is doesn't seem to make a lot of financial sense. And as you say, in light of what the homes were originally set up, it seems to be somewhat contradictory to that original goal. Apologies to the make a question, Senator Kelly.
One short one. How are the application lines? How long are some of those to get into place?
Currently, system-wide for nursing and assisted living, it's, I believe we have a little over 200 on the waiting list. We have a relatively small waiting list for residential, although in some facilities, Palmer, Anchorage, now Sitka, we have over 40, I think, over 40, and Barbara Bathney may correct me, vacancies in the residential section. There's not a demand for purely residential service. The demand is for assisted living and nursing.
That will just intensify as time goes by, I think.
I just picked up the...
Other questions at the department? Senator Fitz.
Yes, thank you. I just want to thank the department for this sheet and this analysis and the diagram in the back. It helped me a lot. Thank you for doing it.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fox. Ms. Bathney, did you want to testify or offer any other comments?
For the record, I'm Barbara Bathney, and I'm the director of the Division of Pioneer Benefits. I do would like to thank Senator Duncan and Senator Kutula for bringing these two bills before this committee. It has been a problem. It's a Division of Pioneer Benefits for quite some time. We had especially with admissions, we have had a problem, and I would like to clear up maybe a little bit of a area which is very difficult for many people to understand. The needs-based admission in this particular bill does not mean they have to be in financial need or in anything to do with well-attached stigma of welfare. Everybody who is going to be admitted now is going to be in physical or medical social need of the benefits and aid of the homes, including in residential. The interdisciplinary care team of each home will, after the person has applied, will look at the needs of that particular applicant. And then, once the need is established and all the other criteria have been confirmed, that person will be eligible, and the application date is the initial date. And like Senator Pichot mentioned earlier, that the financial need and the present practice under this present statute, removing residents out of a private facility over to the Pioneer homes, will not occur. They will have the same and fair list of priority on the application list like everybody else. This will help those elderly seniors, pioneers of Alaska, who have no other resource. The middle income bracket, the ones who are $20, $30 over the APA or destitute standards of $500, $600 a month, it will give them finally a chance to use that last resource. It also gives a chance of residents of Alaska to use a Pioneer home which are not eligible for Medicaid because their illness is not under the Medicaid rules, does not apply as payment under Medicaid rules. The Pioneer's Home has become a resource for many Alaskans who otherwise have no care available. And I would like to, you know, express my appreciation of on the two bills and on the sponsor substitute to help us out and get some of those pioneers into the home.
Thank you, Ms. Bassanini. Mm-hmm. I wanted to clarify, mm-hmm. the sponsor substitute that we have before us, we and others, you have been developing your own thoughts on this for some mm-hmm. time. Does the sponsor substitute that we're looking at, does that correspond to your desires or your drafting or your perception of the problems and the manner that they're addressed to?
Yes, sir, it does. I just want to point out for sure that on page 1, line 27, in this subsection, physical disability or other cause applies to everyone entering the home. Applies to that whole subsection, not just that spouse.
Okay, that was unclear to me
right.
when I read that because I was.
And
I think it's clear. That was probably just my reading that was unclear. I think when it says in this subsection, it clearly means the entire subsection A.
Yeah. It has been brought to my attention by other people also.
I think it's because of the nature of the underlying mm-hmm. material. I went back up to the beginning of that underlying material where it says spouse, but we can check, but it seems that in this subsection means the entire subsection.
Mm-hmm.
Since the underlying material on spouse is not set off as a separate subsection. Questions? Thank you very much. Bill Ray?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Bill Ray. I'm the registered lobbyist for the Pioneers of Alaska. Mr. Chairman, if I might make a suggestion perhaps to alleviate one of the problems here, perhaps in the drafting or if you're coming up with a committee substitute or an amendment, you might, on line 27 there, when it says in this subsection, you might change that around and put it in a definition section by itself and have it allude to the complete section, and I think that might eliminate the problem right there in that one respect. Possibly it's a drafting problem.
Why don't we recheck the drafting on this?
Mm-hmm. If you would like, Mr. Chairman, I could probably go back into a little of the history to see where this destitute and what happened here.
I'm not sure that would be necessary, Senator.
Well, there is a hypocrisy is attached to it in the destitute language. People were afraid that we were going to get into a hotel situation with the Pioneer's Home, and some people put the word destitute in there, and as a result, the interpretation was stringent, and the people who were at that time had to take care of it were afraid that that people would go ahead and turn over all their worldly goods to their heirs, and as such, they would become automatically destitute overnight. So I think they put in, if I'm not mistaken, as a regulation, a 2-year waiting period after you determine that you're destitute. We have a situation in town here, for one, that's we have a lady that's 92 years old, born and raised in Juneau, Alaska, has a very small amount of worldly goods. She could turn them over. In fact, I think she did turn them over. And she can't go to the Pioneer's Home. She's number one on the list, on the regular list, but then the destitutes, there's four ahead of her, and they keep adding on all the time. And this lady's been waiting for a couple of years now to get into the home. So, I mean, it's really not fair. What they're trying to do is, and what this bill does is say, first come, first served. Your name goes down on the list, and when it comes up, irrespective, if you qualify under the terms of the bill, then you're chosen, and there's no double standard, so to speak. Pioneers of Alaska support this 100%. In fact, we are very grateful to the senators for introducing it.
Questions? Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
I don't have the names of people signed up to testify on teleconference. I do have some indication. Is there someone in Anchorage desiring to testify?
proceed.
Oh, and this is Florence Orr. I am a pioneer in High Pass.
Hello, Florence.
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay. I am very pleased with this substitute. I think this, Mr. Ray just said it. They were creating a double standard, and they kind of had forgotten what the word pioneer stood for. And it sounds like it's going to be a solution to what was going to be, I think, a real problem in the state. So thanks to all of you, and do get on with it, and we're looking forward to how you handle it. With you.
Thank you, Florence. Maybe we could have the next person there in Anchorage.
Should be here just a minute.
Objecting to being able to admit anybody under 65 to the home, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, the bill before us would prohibit anybody from being admitted under the age of 65.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Could we have the last person there in Anchorage to testify? Thank you very much. We have one person in Fairbanks to testify.
I'm Eugene Lytello, the president of the Resident Council. Pat, I was just looking over your name here. It's almost as difficult to pronounce as mine. And what I did is called it poor shot, being a hunter, but I was corrected, so it's poor shame.
That's what we call my bowling team.
Oh. Well, we met yesterday to discuss the recommendations made by Barbara Baffney, and we were in favor of them unanimously, and hope that serious consideration is given to them because of her proximity to the problem. She's very familiar with them in detail. Now, I have some additional comments here that I feel that they ought to establish the Pioneer Homes entry guidelines with no reference to destitute or ability to pay. Now, we have other umbrella programs over here to take care of them, and the Pioneer Homes then would not be regarded to pay as a poorhouse. But let them enter on the same basis as all others. Then we approve of the 15-year residency requirement and hope that it remains in place for a long time. Plus we encourage age 65 as a prerequisite to applying. But once the residency and age requirements are met, an observable need for assisted living should be a mandatory admittance requirement. With the degree of required assistance not being an admittance factor, so that we don't begin to appraise one as against the other, you see, as having a greater problem. But have it on a first-come, first-served basis. Another problem, in order to minimize revenue loss due to vacancy, room charges should begin 14 days after an applicant has been informed of acceptance to residency. Otherwise, charges begin with occupancy if it's less than 14 days. Now, many times people are on the waiting list for as long as 18 months, and certainly they shouldn't hold up a room for another 6 weeks over here waiting to be occupied. Now, the priority for assignment to the nursing wing should be from those in residency. Nursing wing assignments from those not in residency should be resorted to only when the residential wing requirement does not exist. They say that this is a policy, but it is violated at times over here when somebody comes in pulling a lot of weight, you see, and they generally go through the politicians. So,
thank you very much. I would just have to say, perhaps we had this bill because that system didn't work either. Not sure how much weight was able to be pulled, but I think you're absolutely right that this is a much more straightforward, fair system. Could we have anybody in Palmer?
Yes, there are two people in Palmer that would like to testify.
Please proceed.
Hello, Paul Christian. I'll be Senator Ray did an excellent job of giving the planner's position. I'm going to add to that Mr. Ray is working for the Pioneers Government Affairs Committee, which Robert Eckman from Fairbanks is chairman and I'm vice chairman. We see the Senate bill, the sponsor substitute, as the best approach to what the people who are very concerned about how the planning homes are operated in the state, what their concerns are. I think that going by date of application or chronological is administratively the best way to go, but it will not solve the problem. You certainly are going to be concerned about the degree of need. And if you are not, you are going to get all of those pressures from the applicants and their families and their friends that you have had before. And you will have the same access to what is called politicians that you've had before. You will find some of the oldest pioneers in the state who have been healthy up to, let's say, the last moment, who suddenly developed critical physical and mental dependencies. Are you, if you have people who have already been on the list for 18 months, that means that you're going to keep that guy on the outside until his turn comes up. Then you're going to have the cases that we all know about. The one
for your testimony, your continued involvement in this. Is there someone else in Palmer?
Yes, there's one other person, Olive Bell. You should lock in too.
Please proceed.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
This is Olive Dolphin Bell, and I'm holding the chart laid out by Barbara Bethany, and I think that it's a very good one. Of course, I think she has the experience behind it, and she's a very good source for anything that you really want to know. And I just want her to know that we are depending on you people up there so that we won't have to try and train people over again to take care of people under 65 years of age. And as you say in here, 82 years old is the average in here. Some is 90 years of age. It's a pretty old, and right next door to someone 90 years old, and find that one person can have the same amount of help as the other one, it's almost an impossibility. So if we can hold on to our pioneer status of 65, I think that would be very good. I want to say something else which really has nothing to do with it, except that we all felt so badly about the death of Louis Onsaker. He was very dear to us here. And if there is any chance whatsoever that Stella Onsaker might fill out his term, I think we're all very much in favor of that, because we all loved her too, and she's been everywhere that he was. And thank you very much for the time.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else on teleconference who we've missed that wishes to offer testimony?
Yeah, this is Anchorage Pat. We have a gentleman who walked in a little bit ago and would like to testify.
Yes, my name's Charles McGee for the record.
Mr. McGee, please proceed.
I'd really like to testify in reference to just one some people consider a small item, but I think it's the crux of it is the money issue, the bottom line. As you well know, I've been interested in assisting an independent of the state procurement process to assist in funding the Pioneer Home Program in years back, and I have some good suggestions. They're valid. They always have been valid, and apparently the grace has been given to me to where I could have a little bit of foresight into the economic situation that we're now seeing. I've seen a while ago. I'm still here. I would like to have the opportunity to meet their needs, and the benefit is, to me, is just actually being able to do it. People question my interest, and that's the first and foremost is to do that. A suggestion is to focus on the Tourism Council, and maybe to eliminate that and allow me to assist in diverting the funding that we can generate off of the tourism industry into funding the Pioneer Home program, as well as help education, as you well know, is two of my main focuses. And I end my comments. I hope you the best, and have a nice day. Thank you.
Mr. McGee, thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody here in Juneau that wishes to testify? If not, we would conclude the testimony then on this. What is the desire of the committee? Senator Banks?
I move have we adopted the CS for Senate Bill 389?
No, we haven't.
I would move we adopt the CS for Senate Bill 389.
Without objection, the sponsor substitute would be adopted.
And I would move that we move CS for Senate Bill 389 from committee with individual recommendations.
If there's no objection, the bill will move from committee with individual recommendations, and I'm not sure if it has, for the people listening on teleconference, I don't know what the next committee of referral is right offhand. Anybody know? It'll go next to the Health and Education Social Service Committee. Thank you all for testifying and listening in today. We appreciate it. State Affairs adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you.
master it through us to get the CS combined with two wells.
Essentially.